The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
2020, it feels like it's been forever and an age since we had our regular Monday spot with our guest Brandon Weikert, geopolitical analyst, publisher of the Weikert Report, author of the book Holding It in My Hands, Winning Space, How America Remains a Superpower, now available for shipping right away at Amazon.com or Barnes & Noble or anywhere else. Winning Space, How America Remains a Superpower. Brandon Weikert, congratulations. And
thank you.
You know, is there anything to talk about these days?
My book.
Yeah, your book. Can I ask? I want to do 3/4 of this on your book, but it would be much of a concession or affectation if I didn't get your thoughts on the elephant in the room, which is the vacancy on the Supreme Court.
Oh, yeah.
In my monologue, I said I don't care about Hatfields and McCoys from previous years. I really don't. You can find any of them saying anything really almost at any given point. Fact of the matter is, long and short of it, there's a constitutional mandate.
That's right.
And we all learned that in 8th grade. The president has this job. Well, the Senate has this job. And you don't want to go to a Supreme Court in an election after an election that has potentiality to go to a Supreme Court with a 4-4 court. It's just that simple to me.
Well, we don't want that to happen, but I have a feeling that the Democrats, looking at how bad their candidate is, would be more than happy to see a split Supreme Court while they're challenging the election and having complete chaos. I could foresee the left hoping above all else that they could bank on chaos being their friend. I mean, look, the Democratic Party has proven themselves, for the most part, to be the chaos party, and they thrive when America is being undermined. Look at how they
fear and surprise are their greatest weapons, like the Spanish Inquisition, right?
That's right. I mean, whether you're talking about opposition to the Iraq War, yep, where it began from a legitimate point of questioning, to then quickly devolving into basically hoping that we lose as a country, or anything that Trump has wanted to do, whether it's Space Force or infrastructure, things that we should all be able to
not being impeached.
Right.
In an election year, by the way. In an election year,
yep,
by the
exactly,
way.
Exactly. Yeah. And so the point is that they're rooting for America to fail whenever a Republican is in charge. And they'd be doing these shenanigans, maybe not as extreme, but they'd be doing these shenanigans if Jeb Bush or Mitt Romney were the Republican in power rather than Donald Trump. And that is something that every Republican, including the Never Trumpers, should remember, is that they did this to George W. Bush, not the extreme they went with Trump, but they did this to Bush. They're doing it to Trump. They're going to do it to the next Republican. Anytime a Republican's in power, they're going to use whatever they can, legitimate and illegitimate means, to undermine us and to hurt the country, frankly, because, as you said, it serves no one other than these Democrats any good to have a split Supreme Court going into this contentious of an election season. It's boggling the mind over here. And, if I can maybe just quickly say, all three, in my opinion, all three of the female names that the president has put forward, I think any one of them would be a step up from what we had before with Ginsburg. And I don't wish death on anyone, and that's not, what I'm here to do. But I will say that she was a terrible, from a policy standpoint, a terrible justice. And I'm glad that she's not on the bench anymore. And I'm looking forward to one of the three women that Trump has named as potential successors. I'm looking forward to them getting their confirmation, and they will get confirmed. I think McConnell would not have pushed this thing the way he's pushing it if he was not confident he had the vote.
Yeah, McConnell doesn't lose these things, and he doesn't say things that he can't deliver on. I mean, say what you want about his charisma, but he is the ultimate corporate attorney.
Yeah, you know. And I would remind everybody, when it came to the health care overturning, McConnell didn't want to do the Affordable Care Act.
Right.
McConnell thought that he was a loser, but the president and Paul Ryan were pushing for it, so he let it happen. But he knew that it was not a fait accompli.
Yep.
This
yep.
is different. This Mitch McConnell is pushing this confirmation process, which tells me he's a wily operator, and he, I think, knows he needs a win, wants a win, and this is a winner. He can afford to lose. I think there are 5 question marks right now for Republican senators in terms of people who might not vote. He can afford to lose upwards of 3 of those votes and still win with a Mike Pence tiebreaker vote.
So
that's the worst-case scenario. And so whoever's going to be the nominee, they're going to get confirmed.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, they will be confirmed.
Oh, sure. I a couple more points on this. We'll just use this segment for it, and we'll turn to winning space for the rest of the hour, if that's okay.
Sure. No,
so, you know, I was engaging with a caller in the previous hour who was speculating, you know, what McConnell did with Merrick Garland and the Democrats' argument on that. And I said, work with me on a hypothetical. If Mitch McConnell bowed to the Garland nomination in 2016, do you think today the Democrats would be saying, well, you know, McConnell and the Republicans gave us Garland.
Right.
So what? Not a chance in hell. And that's
right.
what we Republicans
right.
have learned. We have finally woken up
yes.
to the games these Democrats play. They are great white sharks
right.
that sleep and
that's
eat.
Right.
And that's all
yeah.
they do, even though they. Right. That's all they do. That's all they do.
When I worked on the Hill, most of the Republicans didn't like me. Most of my friends are on the left. And when we would go out drinking at the bars, you know, off the record, a lot of the staffers would look at me and just shake their heads and go, you know, what are you guys doing? And I'd go, what do you mean? Because this is when we had the majority. We just won the majority. And they're like, you know, they're just giving me grief because they're like, we're walking all over you.
Yeah.
And like, it's true. And so Trump gets elected. And it changes the dynamic.
Yeah.
It's just amazing how one man
yeah.
has changed that dynamic because he's given Republicans a backbone. And now you're seeing, I mean, listen, for me, the argument never is, well, we made a moral stand
right.
about not wanting to nominate. You know, who
right.
cares?
Right.
Okay, I wish Republicans wouldn't even say stuff like this.
Yeah.
Because the bottom line is this is about power.
Yeah, I think we're done saying it. I think we're done saying
right.
it. The other
That's
thought
right.
I had was, wouldn't it be interesting? Maybe Biden's afraid of this, but wouldn't it be interesting if, say, an Amy Barrett or a Barbara Lagoa is nominated and the Senate Judiciary with Sheldon Whitehouse and that crew, that ghastly crew, try to do to her what they did to Brett? Maybe they're a little afraid of how that plays in the American mind. I think they know they didn't win
right.
the public mind with Kavanaugh.
They won't be the party of women. They
yeah.
won't be the party of women at that
yeah.
point. I mean, let's just be honest.
Or possibly
and
a Hispanic
also,
woman.
Let me,
right.
let me just posit this to show you how much I think the Democrats are the party of chaos and destruction.
Uh-huh.
Trump could have nominated Merrick Garland again.
Yeah.
He could have nominated Merrick Garland, and they still, I am convinced, they still would have poo-pooed it, the Democrats, because they can't give Trump a win on it.
That's interesting. That's interesting.
The president could go out and say, I'm 100% behind global warming, and I think that we need to fight it, and I will do whatever it takes. And the Democrats, I am convinced, will still not work with him because they cannot be perceived as giving him a win because they'll lose their base. It doesn't matter if it's something that they agreed with him on. I do not think the Democrats are so far gone. Even if Trump agreed with them 100%, they're never going to give him the win. And that's the bottom line.
You saw this with the UAE Bahrain
right.
deal when Nancy Pelosi called it a distraction. You saw this even with
yeah.
the riots. Yes, correct.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Here we have, look at the riots. Okay, listen to the riots. You cannot claim, not only because these are Democrat cities that are burning,
right.
but you cannot claim that Trump is a fascist or a racist
right.
when his campaign... When his party pushed forward criminal justice reform
right.
many moons before
right.
these riots
right.
started.
Right.
This was a Trump phenomenon.
Yep.
And here we have them trying to make it like Trump is the cause of this. If anything, Trump was trying to ameliorate this before it became a problem. And the Democrats kept piling on.
Yeah.
And they kept making it hard.
Yeah, that's right. And calling federal troops stormtroopers to be sure to
right.
get that Nazi message in there.
Right.
All right, we're going to take a break. We'll be right back with Brandon Weikert with his brand new and exciting book. This is an exciting book, Winning Space, How America Remains a Superpower. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Seth Leibson Show. For all your video and social media conferencing needs, I want you to check out SquadPod. SquadPod.com/Seth. It's a great tool for all your meetings, collaborating with your teams, chatting, sharing files, screen sharing. You get to do it all privately. No one even knows you're holding the meeting unless they're invited in to it. No use of third parties, no tracking or monitoring of your conversations, and it's all American made, owned, and operated. In fact, it's based right here in Arizona, 100% made, stored, and operated in America. SquadPod.com/Seth. Delighted to have Brandon Weikert with us. He's got this brand spanking new book finally out, Winning Space, How America Remains a Superpower. Brandon, I think where I want to start with you on your book, if I can, is something you wrote about 11 days ago. And it was a piece in the Washington Times. 9/11 teaches us to take our enemies seriously. And the sentence that gives me chills, because I knew it was true then, and I know it to be true now, and I think too many forgot, is the sentence where you said it was entirely avoidable.
Yes.
Talk to me.
Yes. Well, we know
about that lesson and bringing it obviously forward to the issue of space. Right.
To my book about the space Space Pearl Harbor.
Right.
We knew that the 9/11 Commission reported in their long range investigation that basically the FBI, CIA, military intelligence, elements of the Clinton and then the first administration of the George W. Bush a presidency, they all had disparate sort of pieces of the puzzle that was al-Qaeda's plan to attack the United States. It's just they weren't coordinating with one another. You had, bureaucratic bloat slowing it down. You had the Alex station at CIA headquarters not wanting to talk with the FBI CT guys, and then you had this Able Danger military unit with the Pentagon sort of doing their own thing. And you had people like Richard Clark, who was the Clinton administration's terrorism czar, and then he stayed on for the first term of the Bush administration. And none of these people, though, were able to kind of coalesce their information together to say, uh-oh, there's something coming, and we've got to do something about it now. The CIA, for instance, tracked at least two of the 9/11 hijackers leaving Malaysia and coming into the United States in the summer of 2000. Then they never reported it to the FBI. By the time the FBI was given the information, that office that received it never transmitted it.
We had FBI agents in Arizona writing upwards saying we have people wanting to take off and not wanting to land, a little suspicious.
Right. And so, it was all, basically the bottom line of the communication that they found was that it was all avoidable.
Yeah.
It's just that we didn't react fast enough. And this is what Michelle Worker refers to as a gray rhino event as opposed to a black swan event.
Mm-hmm.
A gray rhino event, or Frank Hoffman at CSIS refers to as a pink flamingo. And it's the same thing. Basically, these are events that you can see from afar, but you don't think it's that important or that serious of a threat yet, so you put off dealing with it until, if we're going with the rhino, analogy, until the rhino is stampeding you and it's too late to get out of the way. And that's 9/11. Pearl Harbor, to a degree, was like that. The Japanese told us they were coming, and we just didn't believe them. And the same thing, I think, is happening with both China and Russia in space. And both of these countries, particularly China, but Russia is also, as I've talked to you about this before, they've actually been putting systems in orbit to threaten our satellite. But China has been very explicit that they want to be the dominant superpower from, this century on. They want to rehabilitate themselves as what they see as overcoming the century of humiliation imposed upon them by the West in the 19th century. They want to use space and high technology as the vehicle for them to achieve national greatness. President Xi Jinping of China has identified dominating the strategic high ground of space as a key component to his China dream, which he wants to achieve no later than the 100th year anniversary of the Chinese Communist Party's victory over the nationalists in the Chinese Civil War. So 2049, and space is a key aspect of this. Bin Laden, in the 90s, issued his fatwa in which he explicitly outlined how and why he was going to kill Americans and attack the United States, and we didn't take him seriously.
I think we didn't take us seriously. We did it again twice, if I'm not mistaken. He did it a second time.
Right. You're completely correct. And the same thing, the exact same thing, is happening again today with the Chinese and Russians, particularly in the strategic domain of space. And we are going to get hit.
You are fabulous as a writer, and this book, you cannot this book down. You're welcome. Talk to me, because you use such great language in describing it, and it's scary. I want you to tell us a little more about it, but I want you to tell us about responding to it. The space stalker, you call it.
Yeah.
It's a devilish little machine.
It's sort of a cannibal of other satellites. I was doing an interview with the Epoch Times this afternoon, and Jan, the interviewer, he said it reminded him of the scene in Moonraker where Moonraker's evil satellite devoured another satellite. And I said, that's exactly right. It's a space stalker, is a very small satellite with robotic grappling arms usually. It's placed into orbit. It's usually launched, and so small. It's usually launched alongside a regular satellite. So the Russians launch them along with their rotten communication satellites. And they tell the Americans, when we see these things breaking off and floating around the Russian rotten communication satellite, the Russians always say, oh, don't worry, those are just repair satellites, Bill. These tiny machines, we send it up there so if the communication satellite goes down, we can repair it remotely. Of course, in wartime, those same repair small space stalker satellites can be fashioned into weapons that can either clamp on and tear apart the American satellites nearby, or can physically push the American satellites outside of their orbits and therefore render those systems useless to the United States, which would render our forces deaf, dumb, and blind, and allow for either Russia or China to run roughshod over our forces defending the Indo-Pacific, or in the case of Russia, defending Eastern Europe. And one of the things that we could do to ameliorate that threat or to mitigate it would be to launch our own space stalkers to sort of form battle groups of space stalker satellites around American sensitive communication, surveillance, and early missile warning satellites that are in orbit, and to also provide greater situational awareness for our forces in space. And at the same time, our space stalkers could also threaten and hold hostage Russia or China's satellite networks the same way they're trying to do to us. Right now, we don't have that capability because we haven't deployed it. And so the Chinese and Russians have an asymmetrical military advantage over us in space. They can threaten us in a way that we yet cannot threaten them.
Let's pause on that and come back, because I want to talk to you about this very lurid description you have about the position we're in, comparing us to a certain position in 1944 and how we can overcome it. We'll be right back with more from Brandon Weicker, author of Winning Space, How America Remains a Superpower. And let me put in a word while we're talking about energy for balance of nature. I take it every single day. I take it for energy. I take it for health, including boosted immunity. It's powerful. It's robust because it's tens of thousands of vital nutrients in a single daily dose. Fruits and veggies, from carrots and spinach to banana and blueberries, all in vegetarian capsules. Great deal. They have 35% off any new preferred order of their fruits and veggies. Call 800-246-8751 or go to balanceofnature.com and use discount code BALANCE. Welcome Welcome back to the Seth Liebson Show. I want you to check out WatchTrumpCard.com. It's Dinesh D'Souza's latest film. It's an expose of the socialism, corruption, and gangsterism that defines the modern Democratic Party. The film reveals what's unique about modern socialism, who's behind it, why it's evil, and how we can work with President Trump to stop it. Pre-order your DVD and video on demand now at WatchTrumpCard.com. That's WatchTrumpCard.com. We're talking to Brandon Weikert, author of Winning Space, How America Remains a Superpower. Brandon, you do an interesting military analysis and level of readiness analysis, saying basically right now in your book, the West is in a strategic position similar to where Germany was in 1944 on the Eastern Front, with all the correcting, obviously, disanalogous comparisons stated.
Right.
But militarily, talk to me about that.
Yeah, so basically, you know, after, and again, I want to make it very clear in the book, I make it clear.
We are
Nazi Germany.
Right, right.
And I also don't think Vladimir Putin is, you know, Nazi Germany, but he is an aggressor. But we are in the same way that the Germans in 1944 on the Eastern Front, even though they were technologically superior fighting force compared to the Soviets, the Germans just couldn't field enough troops to stop the Russian onslaught. Once the Soviets got going, they were a juggernaut. They just basically threw men, into the meat grinder, and the Germans could not stop. They couldn't resist it. It was just, there's no possible way, even with all of their technological accoutrements, that the Germans just couldn't stop the onslaught. And something similar is going on today with the NATO and American position in Eastern Europe, wherein we have all the technological wizardry. We have, I think, better trained troops, better equipped troops, but they're far too few. And so we rely as a force multiplier on our technological advantages to basically, if a fight were to ever break out, obviously if nukes were deployed, that'd be a different story. But if a straight up fight ever did break out, the Russians know the Americans are technologically superior and they could probably put a whooping on any Russian force. The caveat in this is if American technology is operating at a reliable level. And so the Russians and the Chinese, with what's going on in Taiwan and the South East China Seas, are also looking at this. But in the case of the book, I use the Russians as an example.
Yep.
The Russians are seriously looking at debilitating our satellites so that there is no reliable American technological advantage, NATO technological advantage, which means that we are simply too few in number to resist an oncoming Russian advance into, you know, you name the Eastern European country, and then if you throw in the ability of the Russians to knock out, say, American early missile warning satellites, which is something they're looking at doing, we would not be able to detect a Russian launch of tactical nuclear missiles or intermediate-range ballistic missiles from Russian-controlled Kaliningrad, which is between Poland and, I believe, Germany. It's in Eastern Europe. It's a small strip of territory that the Russians have held on to ever since 1945, and they've loaded that area with intermediate-range ballistic missiles. So I could foresee if they did decide, Russia did decide to knock NATO back so they could take parts of Eastern Europe that they've long coveted, they might knock out our satellites, knock out our ability to communicate with each other, knock out our ability to coordinate a defense, and, oh, by the way, knock out our early missile warning satellites, so we are blind to any potential Russian launch against NATO forces defending select parts of Eastern Europe. And it's important to note that the tactical intermediate-range ballistic missile-type nuclear threat is limited in the Russian sense because they want to use it to basically punch a hole through any NATO defensive perimeter of a targeted Eastern European country. And so it's nuclear I'm talking about now.
Yeah.
But in the book, I make the comparison because, like Germany in 1944, we are in the defensive posture and we are outnumbered despite all of our technological advances.
It's weird. I have to say there's a weird narrative about Russia and China based on partisan predilections here in the United States. I think it's unfair to cast Republicans as soft on Russia, though the Democrats try, but it's quite clear the Democrats are soft on China. We're going to break. Can you talk to me about who's the greater threat? And maybe they're you know, on the same plane. Can you talk to me about Russia v. China when we come back?
Yeah,
absolutely. That would be great. We'll be right back with Brandon Weikert, author of Winning Space, How America Remains a Superpower. As long as we're talking technology, let me tell you about SquadPod for all your video and social media conferencing needs. That's the company I want you to check out, squadpod.com, to collaborate with all your teams, screen share, chat, share files, video conference privately. None of your information is used or sold. They don't use third parties at all. And a lot of great features the other guys don't have. Squadpod.com/Seth. It's a great market for real estate. You want someone who's great at marketing. That's why you want my friend James Wexler. He is a friend. I know him well, and I know people who have used him and see him and say the most wonderful things about him, sing his praises. You want to call James Wexler if you're in the mode of selling your house at 480-386-0711. The Phoenix Business Journal ranks James the number one selling individual agent in Arizona. He'll guarantee to sell your home at market value or pay the difference. And he can also make you an upfront guaranteed offer within 24 hours of you calling him. You want the highest possible offer for the sale of your home. You don't want to leave any money on the table. So give James Wexler a call or visit him online at jameswexler.com. That's James Wexler, WEXLER.com. And start packing. We are talking to Brandon Weikert, author of this great new book. I'm holding it in my hands, Winning Space, How America Remains a Superpower. Brandon, there is this Russia-China divide, or at least one the Democrats keep trying to impose on us. I have heard, even today at a speech Donald Trump gave, I heard him going after the Russians. It's obviously an unfair bromide attack against us that we're soft on Russia. I don't think we are. We just don't think that there was Russian collusion that changed the outcome of the election. We see them as comminatory, threatening, dangerous. But we also see China as threatening and dangerous, beyond threatening, really. Why is that so hard for half our political parties to understand?
I think part of it is because they are suffering from an inability to let go of a ridiculous and silly political meme from 2016 regarding the supposed Trump collusion delusion. And also because I think, genuinely believe this, most not China directly, that stand to lose a lot of business if we were to take on a more aggressive stance against China, and they're protecting their bottom line, the Democrats are.
I was noticing, you know, this is a time, I think tomorrow Donald Trump is going to release a taped speech to the UN. The UN is coming back into convention as it does around this time every year.
Unfortunately.
And, yeah, right? Thank God. You got me going there. Sorry. Be still my heart. Yes, thank God for that. Who knew they weren't in session, right? I was reminded for other reasons of a speech Ronald Reagan gave to the UN at this time in 1985, and he made an important point, which is just because there isn't open combat between countries, it doesn't mean there is peace. He was talking about the Soviet Union now, I think all the more applicable to China today.
China today, yes. I think the important thing to remember with Russia is that their threat is a direct military threat, and it's limited and I still think can be mitigated through proper diplomacy. That is not the case with China. China has taken on the mantle that the Soviet Union lost in terms of being just a military threat to the United States, but a cultural and economic competitor and a rival for, you know, attempting to basically have the dominant form of government, in this case, authoritarian state capitalism for the Chinese, which is basically just it's communism with a less nasty face, but it's still very nasty, of course. And the Chinese threat is long-term, and it is existential, and it is multifaceted. And it is made all the more damaging to us as opposed to the Soviet Union when they were our number one threat, because China is fully integrated into the world economy.
Mm-hmm.
And we see this, you know, we saw this with the COVID outbreak and how it's just been so hard for us to disentangle ourselves from China. Russia today is not as integrated, and they are very much, I believe, on the decline. And I think that they have a very strong leader in Putin, a nasty guy. But I actually think that I think the reason that Russia's doing a lot of what it's doing is to try to, A, still show the world that, hey, we're still the great power. And it's also, I think, trying desperately to figure out how to get the Americans to cut them a better deal. They've been very unhappy with the post-Cold War agreement or order. And they've been trying to figure out, short of war, how they can rewrite the arrangement to be more equitable as they see it. Whether we're going to do that or not, who knows? And the longer, though, that we resist, and maybe it's too late already now, but the longer that we resist the peaceful way of ameliorating Russia, the more likely that they sidle up beside China. And that is a true nightmare scenario.
That is a nightmare scenario. And your book, Winning Space, is obviously about space, but you know the geopolitical landscape. I had a question just on that point from one of our listeners, Hal, if I can read it to you. It came to me by email.
Sure.
What if Russia allows the Chinese to sneak a few divisions, or 20, to European Russia and they move together? Can NATO stop them without nuclear weapons? Well, that is the nightmare scenario, isn't it?
Well, yeah, well, that is a truly nightmare scenario. No, I don't think NATO can stop them. I think that is unlikely to happen in terms of moving Chinese troops into Europe. But what we're already seeing is, for instance, the navies of China, Russia, and Iran cooperating together. And now we have, and you know, in December they did this big exercise in the Gulf of Oman, the first of its kind, very successful actually. And also now, in the last, month, Russia, China, and Iran's army, the ground forces, are now doing these joint drills together. And you know, many in the Pentagon laugh at this, but as I always say, even a blind pig can find its slop bowl once in a while.
Yeah.
And in China, Iran, and also Russia, you have three powers who may not like each other, who may eye each other suspiciously, but who very much agree that they don't like the American-led world order as it is, and they want to put the Americans in their place. And working together is the only way that those powers could even believably threaten the United States, and they're going to be looking at space as a way to completely decapitate us, like sort of launch a decapitating strike, so that when they're ready to go to war with us, they have a much higher chance of being successful in war, because the Americans are going to be too dazed and confused to be able to actively resist militarily whatever onslaught they're facing at the hands of the Russians, Chinese, and Iranians. We can prevent this, though, I think, with better diplomacy and offering Moscow a better deal. They're, I think, the weak point of that trifecta. And I think that we are not doing enough to try to, you know, dangle some carrots. And maybe, again, maybe it is too late, because we've been pushing them so hard, especially, I mean, Trump has been harder on Russia than any president since Reagan.
Oh,
he may even be harder, you know, to be sure. And so, I mean, even yesterday with Mark Levin, he reiterated that if anything happens, you know, where the Russians do anything to us, we're going to just blow them out of the water, basically.
Yeah.
And so, you know, this idea that he's a Russian stooge, Trump, is so obscene.
Yeah.
And it's counterproductive. And it's pushing Russia closer to China, by the way, which is the nightmare geopolitical scenario.
You bet. Let me take a quick break and come back with some concluding thoughts from your book, Winning Space, How America Remains a Superpower, by Brandon Weichert, Weichert. It's a really well-written book. It's fun to read, too. We'll be right back. It's been a pleasure having Brandon Weikert on, as we do every Tuesday. His brand spanking new book is Winning Space, How America Remains a Superpower. Brandon J. Weikert, Weichert. Brandon, as a radio preface, people will read your book. You want them to take away what when they're done? What will they take away when they're done?
Take away, we've never been more vulnerable to attack in space than we have now because of the last four presidents and congresses of, throughout that time, their inability to understand space and to commit resources to it, understand how important it is to make it out of the citizen space, but that
I think we may have just about broken. Yeah, are you back with us there?
Yeah.
Go ahead. Yep, we're good.
Okay, and we need to better be able to defend ourselves in that domain. President Trump, the first president in my lifetime, who is actually giving the military the resources to prevent this problem, but we have never been so close to danger, and we've got to keep him in office so that can prevent this nightmare scenario from unfolding.
And the lesson we have to keep relearning again and again to our peril, that we don't need to keep relearning again and again, is it's not about ability, it's about will. Right, Brandon?
That's right. That is a huge component of the book. I have an entire chapter on nationalism, and that is the issue. Is, you know, we have the ability to technology.
Yeah. No, we have the technology. It's, I think the radio gods or the telephone gods just about have tried to silence you, but we won't, Brandon. We have you on every single week. Bless you, sir, for this book, for this teaching. It is critical teaching and something that we all need to know about very seriously. Winning Space, How America Remains a Superpower by Brandon J. Weikert, Weichert. He also publishes The Weikert Report. You can read free, theweikertreport.com. Kurt Schlichter coming right up.